Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 59 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
That'd be me, Preston. Thanks for the escalation there. You were building up to announcing my name, and now you're going to descend and announce Jacob's name. There we go.
Yeah.
What's going on?
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm in a down mood today.
Why? What are you eating over there?
You don't know.
Gum?
Well, let's solve this. Why? Tell me.
I don't know. I'm just.
You don't know.
It might just be the weather. I don't know.
The weather's gotten you down,
I guess. Well,
I mean, the weather.
The weather outside is frightful.
Well, the weather was fine up until like an hour ago.
I don't know. Just having a weird day.
No, it's all right.
Dang,
Jacob. I know what that's like. It's okay.
Let's all lift our arms. Send our energy to Jacob.
Okay. What do they say in Dragon Ball? So you're like, send me your energy, all the spirits of the earth, all the living creatures. That's what we need. We need a spirit bomb to launch onto Jacob.
To kill me.
This is a healing spirit bomb. It's a moral booster.
I don't think
booster.
That exists.
It'll send in, it will shoot it into you, and it'll boost your
morale. It's just the
morale.
Gesture that counts. We're all here for you, Jacob, all of us. Garrett, how are you doing?
I'm just fine. It's good to be back, as always. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon here in the state of Georgia. You okay over there?
No. So let me give everybody, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
okay.
You told me before this started going that I needed to not breathe as much into my mic.
Uh-huh.
And I apologize if you everybody heard me breathing and stuff. So I'm catching myself not breathing.
Oh.
So I'm like holding my breath. Yeah.
No, whenever I need to breathe, I usually just...
Okay.
Sit back like this.
So I'll just chill back here. My nose has been a little stuffy, and I just now realized it because it's not flowing as well as I'd like it to. So maybe that's it.
Maybe you need some Flonase. Have you ever had Flonase before?
No.
That's what you shove
up your nose.
It's a nose spray that's meant to clear. It's not like there's two different kinds of nose sprays. There's like the over the counter kind that will just clear your nostrils if you have like a massive cold and you can't breathe through your nose. But Flonase is like a permanent solution. It's almost like a what's the word I'm looking for? A prescription. That's what it is. It's the difference. It's the prescription nose spray that will clear your nostrils. It's quite powerful. If you have any nostril issues, you have congestion up there in your snout, I suggest Flonase.
Or you could just cut your nose off.
You could. You could just shave it right off. You could look like a ghoul from Fallout.
There's a person who felt like their body belonged. They were a dragon.
Okay.
The
dragon person.
Yeah, and they cut their nose off.
Yeah.
So that will completely bypass any sinus troubles.
Right.
I think, maybe. I don't know.
I think you're right. It'd just be two holes in your face.
Yeah.
Imagine how awful that would
be. Easy to clean. Just like stick a Q-tip in there. And
just right. All the
roll
shove
it
all the way in.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I mean, if they identify as a lizard man, then so be it. I identify as a 23-year-old white man.
Yes.
So that's why I'm here doing
this
right now.
Wow.
That's great.
How great.
Yeah, I'm glad that we see eye to eye on that.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
I actually identify as a world-famous gaming podcaster.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
That's good, because if that's what you identify as, that's who you are.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that's a great way to look at it.
Yes, thank you. But how you've been doing good?
No, I have really been doing good. It was a solid week. It was a pretty laid-back week at work. I didn't have a whole lot going on, but I got a lot done. I felt good about it. And most of all, I had a lot of fun playing Pokemon Go yesterday. With Jacob and Casey, we ran around the town and just caught Pokemon all day long. It was my first time to really dive into the game and really give it a shot, because I'd been very briefly dabbling in it since launch day. I just didn't have time to like spend a day just running around town catching Pokemon, because there's nothing around where I live. There's nothing around where I work, except for a Pokestop. There's a Pokestop where I work at the church I work at. So I need to take advantage of that. I could just farm it all day long.
Yeah, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
There's one in my backyard.
A Pokestop?
Yes.
You have to into your backyard to reach it?
Yes. You know that church that's behind
across
my house?
Yeah.
That's a Pokestop. So I literally, sometimes when the GPS tracks me, it actually puts me in
over
there.
Over there.
So I can just like chill in my bed and like occasionally do the Pokestop.
That's
so
cool.
I have no excuse to not have like a billion Pokeballs.
Nice.
So
that's cool. Yeah, but I had a great time playing it. Me, Jacob, and Casey saw just countless people playing the game. Funny thing is we didn't talk to anyone, like no one was really talking to each other, but you could always tell when people were playing. Like groups of people like sitting near where the Pokestops were, and there's like people in their car, you could all tell were playing at the Pokestops where we were and everything. So it was great, and it was just like a ton of people just running around on was it Friday? Today's Saturday, right?
Yes.
And just a great, wonderful, beautiful Friday evening. It's just everyone around this town was playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like everyone around the world, basically, at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was cool. Caught some Pokemon, had a good old
especially
time.
Especially now. I think it's out in, like, way more. I think, like, 12 or 13
it came out
countries.
In 26 countries
today. Or 26,
today,
so. Yeah. That's cool.
Pretty much everywhere.
Right. It's,
I'm guessing cool. Canada didn't have it for the longest time, but I think they got it today.
So. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone now.
Yeah, it's officially overcome the earth. And it could be the bringer of peace. It could be the bringer of destruction. We don't know yet. But as of right now, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
People seem to be enjoying.
Although the old people are like losing their minds. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah, they're scared.
Yeah, they're scared.
They're living in fear now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I played a good amount of Pokemon Go as well. I kind of like didn't for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I think since our last podcast, I didn't get back into it, which we film on Saturdays. So last Saturday, I really didn't play until like yesterday again. So I got up to like level 10, I think. Okay. And I went to the movies last night, which was a gym. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I just sat there. I put a lore on it. So during the movie, I went to go see Secret Life of Pets. I recommend it. It was very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just catching Pokemon the entire time I watched the movie.
That sounds great.
So, yeah.
So it was the kind of movie where you didn't have to fully pay attention. No. You just every now and then just throw out some Pokeballs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
It's definitely not the most complex thing film ever. Yeah, but it was enjoyable. I had a lot of fun watching it. So, and I had a lot of fun playing Pokemon, too.
Did you play anything else this week?
Yes.
What'd you play?
Technomancer.
Okay, you platinumed it.
I platinumed it. Finished
it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is the only platinum I've ever done where I didn't look up a guide.
Really?
Like, because there isn't one.
Okay.
Nobody's writing guides for
this.
You
should have done one.
I should have. Yeah, you're right. Because people in, like, forums and stuff are asking, like, a very small amount of people playing this game are asking for, like, how do I get this trophy? How do I get that trophy? I had to go venture out and figure out how to do it for myself.
And that's the way they probably all do it.
Yeah.
All those trophy guide videos. So you could have been the next one for the Technomancer.
The very last one I needed to gain a form an alliance with a particular faction. And my reputation wasn't high enough with them. And there were I was looking online to find the missions that like raise the reputation. So I was like freaking out because I asked for their help and they said no. So I had to like reload a save so I could ask them again. And I just found one quest I had. It was like finding information for the secret newspaper, and I was like, that sounds like something that they would like me for. So I did it. They liked me. I went and asked for their help. They gave it to me. Platinum popped, and I smiled.
That's great.
I ejected the game, put it in the disc, and I'll never play it again.
Nice.
But I liked the game.
Yeah, you had a solid experience with it, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I will remember that game fondly. Like I said last week, it tried.
It was a little RPG that could.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
So, yeah. I definitely recommend it, especially once the price goes down. Lord knows when you'll play it. I think now is a good time to play it if you are looking for something like that. Because once August hits with Deus Ex and then Final Fantasy and then Skyrim coming out again.
No Man's Sky's in there too.
Yeah, No Man's Sky. RPG-like games.
Right.
Nobody's going to give this game any attention whatsoever.
You're right. So. And now's its chance to shine.
Yes.
Its brief moment to shine.
Yes.
And you gave it a little polish.
Yeah, I did.
And you let the world know, our small community, and thank you all for being here as always, by the way. You let everyone know your thoughts, and you let them know that it's not quite as bad as it may seem. So I appreciate that. Like I said, chances are slim I'm probably not going to get to it.
Yeah,
but I will take it to heart, and I trust you when you say it's pretty good.
Thanks.
And there was a moment where I was like, maybe I should go get it.
I would be interested to see what you thought, especially playing on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah.
Because that game just like crushes your nuts for like 2 hours until you finally overcome it.
Wow.
So, but I highly doubt anybody. I think that's the game's problem, is nobody overcomes it.
Okay.
Because it is very brutal and just very infuriating in the beginning until you understand the combat, which by understand I mean you kind of figure out how to cheat the combat, kind of. Like, you just figure out the tricks to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Do the game.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart.
That's okay.
But, yeah. Besides that, nothing really. I didn't have a lot of time this week.
Cool.
I'm just in a platinum mood. Like, I re-downloaded a side-scroller that I wanted to get back to called Dust and a Legion Tale, I believe. That was a PS Plus game a long time ago, and I played it for like an hour, and I was like, this is really fun. I never got back to it. I was actually looking through a list of games that are fun to platinum, and that was like number 6 on the list. And I was like, wow, I remember that game. It was fun, so I think I'm going to give it a try again. So there's nothing else to really play right now besides like going and finishing up Fallout for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, which I'm feeling that, but I kind of wanted something else to play to go back and forth. So I'm going to start playing that in Fallout.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. And Overwatch. I want to play Overwatch again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I need to find a pin.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about all that. We don't even have a timer right now.
Oops.
You know what? I'll just scrub through it. I'll grind it out this week. I'll have time tomorrow.
Sweet.
So... Jacob, what'd you play this week? And I know you and I played a little bit of Overwatch and Star Wars. You play anything else?
Not besides Pokemon Go, no.
Okay, nice.
Every time I'll come home from whatever I do the day, I have like a route I go on my way home to, you know, get a bunch of Pokestops and challenge some gyms.
That's awesome. What level are you on now?
I'm level 17.
Okay.
I've been playing it quite a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mainly just catching a bunch of things. Yeah. I don't have the strongest team. Not finding a lot of things that I really want, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to find I think I need one more Squirtle to get a War Turtle.
Okay.
And, it seems like this area doesn't have a lot of great things, and that's unfortunate.
So. You said there's some stuff going on in Atlanta, though.
Yeah, there is. I wish I could be down there more, but...
Yeah, you said you saw Dwayne Johnson, didn't you?
Yeah, I happened to walk on the set of Fast 8. I didn't, literally walk on it, but, you know, they had a road closed off, so I walked by it.
Yeah.
And I saw Dwayne... I'm pretty sure I saw a big, huge, bald man. I assume it's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, that or a stunt double.
Yeah.
Not too many of them walking around.
Right. But, he was with a bunch of people eating under a bunch of tents where the whole production team was taking a break.
It had to have been him. It had to have been, because they're filming Fast 8 here. I know they're filming Spider-Man Homecoming, and Tom Holland's been in the city and stuff, which is cool. And he posted, have you seen the selfie he posted on his Instagram in his costume?
No.
It was awesome. He's on top of this massive tower, and it's just him doing the Spider-Man web shooter hand, and you can see his mask and a whole cast and set behind him on the ground. Everyone's just looking up at him. He's it's good to be in Atlanta or something. But all the set photos I've seen for the movie look cool, but it's just awesome to think they're shooting Fast 8 and Spider-Man Homecoming here. I mean, I'm sure you guys have read that Atlanta's becoming huge for film. Obviously, there's constantly movies being shot here, but it's only a matter of time till just those people are seen constantly around here, just because I know you've seen Dwayne Johnson. I know Casey saw Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Scarlett Johansson.
I saw Will Ferrell in a park that I walk by every day.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when they were shooting Anchorman 2, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's for that epic battle scene at the end of the movie they have. So
it's actually where I shot a little video that I did this week.
Oh, that's cool.
So
yeah, I know what park you're talking about, too. I remember driving past it after the movie came out. I'm like, oh, that's that park. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Casey said she saw Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson clear as day.
Also, a Vacation, the theme park.
Oh, yeah, they use Six Flags
in
it.
They use Six Flags.
Yeah, the Vacation remake, that was... I won't say it's awful. If you look at it as not a remake, it's just another dumb comedy. But in the sense that it's supposed to kind of not really a remake, but a continuation of the original Vacation movies, is just awful in that sense. But it was enjoyable a little bit. Me and Preston went and saw it. Were we on a job in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were when we saw it.
Yeah, they were at the park at the end. We were that's Six Flags. They didn't even try.
Yeah, it was clearly Six Flags over Georgia, and they called it, what do they call it, Willy's or something?
Wally World,
yeah. That's right.
Willy's.
Yeah.
And they took the roller coaster, the Ninja, and just
which is the worst ride in the park.
Yeah, so awful.
Yeah.
Such a bad ride.
Which is funny, because I felt so bad for the actors, because the whole ride is shot in from their perspective, so they all rode this terrible ride, and they're probably in pain. Lord knows how many takes they had to do for that. Yeah. So that was awful.
Yeah, and they just it looks so cheap. They just slapped Velociraptor or something like that on it.
They renamed the Ninja to the Velociraptor. The coaster, and me and Preston laughed, because living in Atlanta, everyone knows at Six Flags that's the worst roller coaster in the park. There's so many better ones. But when you look at Velociraptor, when you look at the Ninja from afar, I can see why they went with that one, because it looks very intricate, and it's bright
fine.
Red.
It's fine if it were just a regular roller coaster, but it's like... You put these things over your head, which is fine, because the Batman ride does it.
Right.
But for some reason, in this particular roller coaster, you shake a lot.
Yeah.
So you're literally, your head is just smashing back and forth the entire time.
And it's a metal roller coaster. It isn't wooden. So you'd think, all metal roller coasters, they're supposed to be a nice, smooth ride. Well, this thing just kicks the crap out of you.
I mean,
it is. It's an old one.
I mean, the Batman ride is kind of the same. Things go over your head, but it's super smooth, you know, so.
I guess it lives up to the name, the Ninja, because it just kicks your ass the entire time. But those poor actors. But Atlanta in general, it's cool. That's kind of like a film hub now, and then you can see actors. Basically, whenever you go in the city, you're almost, I'd say 65-70% of the time, you're probably going to see some sort of actors walking around doing something, which is cool. But so you played some Pokemon. You said Pokemon is pretty hectic in Atlanta, isn't it?
It is. That's awesome. There's people everywhere looking at their phones, not paying attention.
There's 100 Pokestops everywhere you
saw
go.
Saw a guy run into a bush when I was walking by.
Really?
I was you're an idiot.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's just pretty cool. I saw people meeting each other.
That's cool.
This happened to meet each other, like asked if they were playing the game.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty cool.
I think that's what we should do in our next Pokemon video is we should go to Atlanta because there's obviously that's a big city and there's a whole lot going on there. But we should like try to interact with more people because we saw plenty of people yesterday, but everyone was just kind of keeping to themselves. So it'd be cool to like interact with people and maybe team up and like go do stuff. If we find some more Team Valor members, maybe go try to take down a big gym or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
But like you've said, I'm sure everyone agrees that's been playing the game. The social aspect is the coolest thing. Yeah. Just everyone's playing and everyone can kind of relate to it in some way. And whether you grew up like a lifelong Pokemon fan or you're just now getting into it, everyone is just finding some kind of joy in it. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that like, I mean, the world's always been like a dark place, but especially nowadays, it's just like a whole lot of crap going on in the world. It's just cool to see, even if it's just this one little game, just kind of bringing people together in the small ways that right. it is, which is cool. So in that sense, it's been awesome, and that's why I liked it yesterday. It's just all of us just went out and had a fun day outside. We had Casey's dog with us, just running around the park playing a game, which is cool.
Yeah, and I already told you I was unfortunately not in the video due to work, yes. and I live far away, but as an outsider looking in, it was a great, great Let's Play. I really enjoyed it.
I thought it
was a lot better than a lot of the other big YouTubers' Pokemon Let's Plays.
Well, we certainly had fun.
And I can say that I know that seems pretty biased because, you know, I'm a part of the channel. But yeah. As not being in the video, I can say that. So definitely check it out if you're listening to us on any other podcasting service. Please go check us out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming and please check out our Pokemon Go Let's Play.
Yes, and join us on that next episode. I'd love if you could come with us. We just go to the city of Atlanta. I know it's kind of weird just being like...
I know. I don't know. I'm in transitions between work stuff, I think. Next week, so I might have some days off, so I'll keep you
Sounds
guys
good.
Updated.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, we'll figure it out for sure. But in addition to Pokemon, I grinded all week for the Benevolent Leader trophy
in
Fallout.
Did you get it?
I did. No.
Okay.
Funny story. I should have just done what everyone says to do. They're like, do Red Rocket Gas Station. I should have started
That's
with
what
that.
I did.
But the only reason I didn't is because I wanted to get this done as soon as possible. So I typed in fastest way to get the Benevolent Leader Trophy in Fallout 4. First thing that came up was not at Red Rocket. It was at a different place. I'm like, well, and the place that it was Sunshine Tidings Co-op was the settlement to go to.
Sunshine Daisies.
Buttermellow. Yeah, classic. Anyway, so he said to go to this place, and it just so happens that I already have the exact amount of people that he said to have, and I was at like 65% happiness already. I was like, wow, that's a great starting point. I'll just go there. So I go there. I do all the little extra tiny little things I needed to do in order to make this work. So then I just, you know, you just sit and I wait. I'm just sitting in my room like, I guess I might as well work a little bit because I worked from home on Thursday. Thursday was my biggest day to do this. I did it for like a couple hours a day before all week leading up to Thursday. But Thursday is like, all right, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to work from home and I'm just going to let Fallout run. And I'm going to, you know, do the where you have to like sleep for 48 hours and wake up and let the happiness go up and just do that process over and over again. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do that for however long it takes me to get my work done today. So I sat there for about 6.5 hours and I went from... well, this is hilarious. I made it all the way to 90 happiness at this place, and it took a while. It took a few hours. I'm like, that's taking a little too long, I think, because the other guy was like, it should only take you like an hour and a half if you're doing all right. So I'm like, that's already kind of concerning me a bit. So I get to 90. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to my sanctuary, my main fortress, and I'm at like 89% there. I'm like, maybe I can just boost that to the end. So I go there and F around for a little
you're
bit.
Like,
And just stick with me. This is funny. So nothing happens there, of course. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go back to Sunshine Co-ops and just grind it out. I'm just going to suck it up and stay there. I get back. It's down. It went from 90 to 81. I was like, what the hell happened? And I look around. There's dead bodies everywhere. And it was raiders had attacked. Miraculously, all my settlers survived, but there's just dead bodies riddled everywhere. So obviously, and then I looked at my miscellaneous quest. It's like, you had failed to defend Sunshine Tidings Co-op. I was like, that didn't even pop up. I didn't see that. I could have defended it and helped the happiness. And I was so frustrated, obviously, because I had waited so long for it to get to 90 and it went all the way back down to 81. So then I just snapped and took out my shotgun and killed every single settler. I'm like, you all failed me. But then I reloaded it because I didn't want to be that violent and that evil. But I took out my anger on the settlers and slaughtered all of them. But then I reloaded it. I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to go to Red Rocket like I should have done in the first place and do it there. And it only took me like an hour and a half and I got it. So I finally got that trophy. The only other trophy I have left is place a grenade or mine in someone's pocket. And I just need to do one more quest to level up to get that perk to do that. So that's my final trophy. But I was going to say, it's funny because when we first got Fallout 4, it was never my intention to platinum the game. For some reason, I just didn't have any interest in doing so. But just recently, I looked at I was scrolling through my trophies because I had platinum Ratchet and Clank, and I saw that Fallout 4, you have like 88% trophies. And I looked, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I only had like four more. I'm like, I might as well just finish this up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And finally, I just got the most annoying trophy out of the way. And I can't really be mad about it because, I mean, that at the end of the day, that is a mechanic in the game. And reaching 100%, I would consider an achievement in a mechanic like that in a game. So I can understand why it's in there. I just wish it wasn't as slow as it is. But thankfully, that's over with. That's all I did all week. I did nothing. I mean, obviously, me and Jacob did an Overwatch video and a Star Wars video. But other than that, I just grinded in Fallout, and it was awful. I just wanted to rip my eyes out of my face because I was suffering. But I succeeded.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get the platinum, probably tomorrow.
That's pretty much the general consistency with that trophy. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's rough.
Did you have to build, like, shops and everything, too?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't... I mean, I built six clinics.
Yeah.
Six clinics, a couple food bushes. I had like one guy on food, five people on clinics, and that was it, and it worked.
Yeah, I got to 99, and it got a down arrow, the red down arrow, and I was like, oh, like, what's happening? And I like had to go get, in the guide I was reading, it said I only needed a certain amount of people, like 7 or 8 or something. Yeah. And I like ran and grabbed like a ninth person, and like had them come and like pick food or something. And then it went up to 100.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, once it got to 99 with the down arrow, I just wanted to like throw my controller across the room. Yeah, not a fun achievement for sure.
Trophies like that in any game where it's like you have to grind really hard to get it. There's always the brief moment of fear when, like, for example, in this one, when I hit 100, there's always that 3 or 4 second pause where you're waiting for the trophy and you're like, is it gonna pop or not? So it's like you with the Doom stuff, it's like, I should be getting it right now, and it took like 5 seconds, finally it popped, and I was like, yes!
Yeah. And Doom was pretty bad with that. Anyways, like, I read a bunch of stuff saying that they would like upgrade all their weapons all the way, and then like 30 seconds later it would pop. So I'm just sitting there for like 5 minutes just like praying to God that this trophy's gonna pop, and it never did.
That is awful.
Yeah, they're the worst. PS4 is way better about that. PlayStation 3, I swear, like, you would beat the game and like the next day the trophy would unlock.
That's
like
hilarious.
It was ridiculously slow, and Xbox 360 was insanely fast with achievement popping. It's the exact opposite now. Xbox One, it's achievements take forever to pop for me at least.
That's one of my favorite features of the trophy system, is that there's always the little recorded, like, for each trophy, there's like the little clip of like when you got it, so you can like reminisce, like, oh, I remember that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was just looking at those the other day. I was going through my stuff and I saw the Bloodborne one.
Yeah.
That was probably my most satisfying platinum for sure.
I believe it for sure.
I was going crazy when I did that.
Yeah, sounds great.
But so y'all did play Star Wars a little bit?
We did, Lego Star Wars. We're still trudging through that. I told Jacob, I was like, me personally, like, I don't get like super pumped to play it, and I don't even really get pumped to watch Lego Star Wars. At the end of the day, I wanted to get the game just because I like Star Wars, but I said, like, we're calling it a walkthrough, we started, we just have to at least finish it. So for those of you that have even if you just click the video to like it and then you leave, that's good enough for me, because I'm like, as long as at least one person's like, oh yeah, I'll watch like 3 seconds of that, it works for me, because I'm like, I want to finish what we start, because I think it'd just be kind of weird if, like, say some random person comes across our channel one day and they're like, I'm gonna go to their playlist and see what games they've played, and they're scrolling through and they just happen to be the biggest Lego Star Wars fan that's ever lived, and they see Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens walkthrough, they're like, oh my gosh, I bet this is great, and they click it and there's just like 25% of the game that just vanishes and just ends. I'm like, that'd be kind of weird, so I want to just finish it, but we don't want to get like grind it in people's faces either, like, we have 6 episodes a week of Star Wars, because I would kill myself if we did that. So we're doing like one a week, and we're just kind of just messing with it. So if you're bored and you're like, I'm pooping right now, I could watch some Lego Star Wars for 5 minutes, it's there for you.
Yeah.
So what I meant to say, Vault-Tec Workshop for Fallout 4, which I'm excited about, is launching on July 26th, by the way.
Mm.
So I'm going to build a vault, and when we do our Nuka World Let's Play, maybe we'll do more than one. I have an amazing fortress to show off now, since I like did the glitch to expand my fortress. I'm going to build a badass vault, and I'm going to have all kinds of goodies to explore in a Let's Play, in addition to Nuka World, of course. So that's why I'm excited. I loved Fallout Shelter, and this is bringing it to Fallout 4, so I'm pumped.
Nice. Sounds good, man. Yeah. Well, this is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. If you're on any other, like I said previously, Spotify or any other podcasting service, please check us out at our main base, which is youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. You can check out our podcast, Let's Plays, reviews, unboxings, pretty much everything a game channel needs.
Absolutely.
It's right here.
Yes.
And also, if you're on Spotify or any of the other things, we're also on iTunes and any of everything ever that's ever
pretty much. I'm trying to get us on SoundCloud. It's a little vague.
Oh, so we're not on SoundCloud.
No, we're not. Okay. I think that'd be the easiest one, but I'm still trying to figure that out. So. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
But anyway, hey, man, what's the news?
Yeah, okay. I'll get into it. Before we begin, I got to say one thing.
Oh, man.
Stephen Garney, you know who you are. We've spoken before on Facebook. If you're listening, just know I'm so sorry that we did not play Overwatch with you the other night, because we invited Stephen to our party. We were about to shoot an Overwatch Let's Play, which we did end up doing, but we did it like two nights later because we were having all these weird server problems. Like Jacob got like basically...
There were server problems. There was internet issues.
I guess they were, but that's the thing. I guess maybe it was my internet, but even I, you connected to a LAN cable, couldn't sign into Battle.net for some reason, neither could Jacob. So we had invited Stephen. We played like half a match and Jacob got kicked and I was lagging the whole time. So then we just crapped out. We're like, crap, we're like locked out, so we can't do this. So we did not abandon you. I just want you to know that we are so pumped to play with you and we were going to put it in a video, but our servers crashed. Two nights later, we knocked it out, though, so that's coming. We actually did a lot of fun stuff in that Let's Play. All the thanks go to Jacob, all the salutes, because he was like, hey, let's do something a little different tonight. Obviously, we did the weekly brawl, which was called Mobile Watch. It was pretty cool. You could only pick one character per team, and you couldn't switch, which is kind of what we were talking about when we talked about competitive play. It's like that game where it's like, you pick your character, you're stuck with them. So that's what it was like. It was pretty cool. We did that, and then we did another one where, like, I played as Pharah and he played as Mercy the whole time. We just ran around as that combo, and it was pretty deadly. We lost, but it was cool. And then the final round we played, we're like, hey, let's, for each round of this match, let's play as the same character and see who can play as him better. So we played as Roadhog, he beat me. We played as Hanzo, he beat me. And then we played as May, and I beat him. So it was pretty cool. That was a fun way to play the game, and we just were like, because we had hurt ourselves playing competitive play, because we played, but when we shot our competitive play video, we played like five or six matches until we won. And we're like, we don't want to put ourselves losing on the internet again. That's boring. So it was just awful doing that. So we're like, let's have fun with it this time. Let's not even worry about the structure of our teams. We're just going to simply have fun. And it was great. So thank you for your ideas, Jacob. I'd love to do more stuff like that in the game.
There's always more where that came from.
But yeah. But boys, the news, it wasn't a crazy news week. There's a couple little things going on that are semi-exciting and mostly interesting facts. And some of them have to do with Pokemon Go. It's a huge game. We've discussed it at the beginning. Everyone's playing. I'm going to throw some stats your way. This isn't going to be like a boring like statistics like conference where like, we sold this many units in this today, and this is how our shares are looking. There's a bit of that, but this is pretty interesting because it's just, this puts it in perspective just how big Pokemon Go is. This is from our best friend at IGN. Joe Screbbles, quote.
I don't know anyone in IGN.
I don't know him either, but we've read his article so much that he's pretty much he's a part of us now. He doesn't even know it. If I ever meet this man in real life, I highly doubt I will, but if I ever do, I'm going to tell him, I've read all of your articles, sir. I got to say, I'm a big fan. Quote. If you're in the US, Australia, or New Zealand, I'm going to add in a little bit here, anywhere else where the game is released now, you'll likely have looked out the window to see bands of aimless people moseying around the streets with faces and phones like some benign version of the Purge. If you're anywhere else, you'll have seen the same thing, but they're all crying because Pokemon Go isn't out yet. This game is huge, and now we have the data to prove it. SimilarWeb has compiled information about the game's current usage on US Android phones, the standout fact being that Pokemon Go is on course to take over Twitter's daily active users, meaning it's currently being used daily on 3% of all measured phones. Daily active users of Pokemon Go versus Twitter via SimilarWeb. Pokemon Go was installed on around 5% of US Android phones only 2 days after launch, putting it well above the popular dating app Tinder almost immediately. Going by Statista's suggestion for the number of Android phones in the US, that means that the app is currently installed on 5.4 million devices in the US alone. Of course, that's only half the story. While precise stats aren't available, the App Store suggests that iPhone usage won't differ too much. Pokemon Go has topped both free and top-grossing charts since launch. While nothing certain, Nintendo's other smartphone app, Miitomo, hit 10 million worldwide users but has since dropped off. SimilarWeb also points out that Go's retention rate is currently extremely good, which bodes well considering most users delete unwanted apps between 3 and 7 days. Whatever the end result, all of this is reflecting well on Nintendo right now, whose shares jumped 10% overnight after Go's release. We can only imagine that it will improve further after the app's launched worldwide, although we'll have to wait a little longer for that after server load issues paused release.
Which has happened.
Yes. and I'll just continue on with this one. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm just going to dabble in it a bit, but it's made over $14 million as, and this article is a couple days old. Obviously it's made more since then, but the latest bit of news that was released, it's made over $14 million. What else is in here? The market value of Nintendo went up to $23 million apparently. It says the equivalent of a summer hit. Oh yeah, it's also saying this is the main question I want to ask about this. Nintendo shares jumped 70% in 1 week, which is pretty astounding.
87% now.
Oh, that's amazing. See, that's what I mean. Like a few days later, it's even bigger. So it's nuts. The game's massive, but this is the question that's being posed by a lot of people that I think is a very valid question, and I'm sure all of you have thought about at least once. It says, Some are unsure that the success will last. Super Data suggests Pokemon Go is, quote, the equivalent of a summer hit song rather than a revolution in the mobile game monarchy, end quote. How do you feel about that?
I think that makes sense.
I get the feeling that I could be wrong, because I never like to see anything awesome tank, but I get the feeling that this is going to die out sooner rather than later.
It's going to die out, but I still think there's going to be a good retention rate.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because
there'll probably
this
be like the solid hardcore
everybody's
fans
talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. So there's people that are going to try it out
for months from now.
Yeah, or that. But people that are going to try it out like as of now when it's like insanely popular, and they're going to stop playing like in the next few days.
Right.
Where there's always going to be, you know, especially in a game with Pokemon on it, that's already going to keep hardcore Pokemon fans just going at it. And why not? I mean, I'm going to probably be playing this game for a long time, because, I mean, if you're just traveling somewhere or something, you might as well just whip out your phone and see if anything's there and stuff. I think eventually, you know, the retention rate is going to go down. It's not going to be like this for the rest of our days.
Yeah.
I think it'll still stay pretty high, especially with the updates that are coming. And it's like I said, it's the stocks have gone up a ridiculous amount. They're making a ton of money off of this. Mm-hmm. So that's going to continue to want them to keep updating this and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
if they keep updating it, then there should be no reason why it would fizzle out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's someone like, I mean, just to address some of the things people have been saying, like friends list would be cool. Being able to battle random people you encounter outside would be cool.
Trading is coming soon.
Trading is coming, yeah, that's confirmed. People said like, oh, maybe some more customization. People said bring more original music to it if you can. Stuff like that, it doesn't really bother me that much, but like the main things would be cool. Like, you know, the friends list would be nice. The battling would be cool. I don't know how, this is probably way easier said than done, but it'd be cool if they somehow introduced like the turn-based mechanic back into it.
I didn't mind. I actually battled for the first time 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last week when we talked about it, I was talking about, you know, no new combat system and stuff and turn-based, whereas I never played this one in the first place. And I don't think this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It's there's not really like strategy per se to it, but it kind of like fits this type of game because it's just like fast. Like
I was thinking they probably had that in mind. They like they just want to keep it speedy and not just have people standing around fighting a gym for like 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though people probably do that anyway.
If you're stronger, boom, 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 you're going to whittle them down. If you're not, like you're going to die. Like it's over. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like it in that sense. I like it. I like it way more than I thought I would, you know, based on what I had heard. So we'll see. I mean, they'll probably start improving everything. So. Yeah.
I battled for the first time yesterday against a pretty strong gym alongside Jacob. We were both fighting it at once, and I was getting killed so fast, so quickly that my Pokemon like would just blink onto the screen, and then like they'd turn invisible because they were getting killed so fast. So I just saw like I knew I was fighting because I was getting like it was like notifying me that I was doing things, but like my Pokemon were invisible because they were dying so quick. They all died in one hit. So it was pretty funny, but it was fun just fighting a bunch of random gems with Jacob and stuff. But like you said, it's probably speed was probably like the name of the game in that, just knocking it out really quick and just moving on. But yeah, Pokemon Go is a beast. We'll see what happens as time goes on. You guys hear about Anna?
I did.
Overwatch?
Of course.
No.
You didn't hear about Anna?
No, I did. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was going to say, wow. But this is from Michael McWhorter of Polygon. This is going to do a bit of her backstory, and we're going to go over her abilities. For those of you that don't feel like watching videos, or if you're just a casual Overwatch fan and haven't really heard about Anna, or just barely just kind of looked at it a wee bit, here's all the details. I think this is very exciting. This is relevant to talk about, because we're big Overwatch fans, and I'm a huge support fan, or support character fan. I know Jacob is as well. So here we go. Quote, players who've been following Overwatch's lore likely already know that Ana is the mother of another playable character, Pharah. Ana also has close ties to other Overwatch veterans, including Gabriel, Reaper, Reyes, and Jack, Soldier 76, Morrison, which Blizzard teased last week. Anna clearly has some history with an Overwatch character, rival sniper Widowmaker, who appears responsible for the loss of her right eye. Blizzard describes Anna as a battle-scarred veteran who supports her teammates from a distance using a unique and highly specialized collection of weapons. Anna's primary weapon is her biotic rifle. The gun fires long-range darts that heal her allies and deal damage to her foes. She's also equipped with a biotic grenade. As seen in her debut gameplay video, Anna's biotic grenade, like her rifle, heals teammates and damages enemies caught in a small area of effect for a brief period. The grenade also boosts all incoming healing for allies and prevents enemies from being healed. Bad news for opposing Roadhog and Soldier 76 players. She'll also be armed with a sleep dart, which can knock enemies unconscious for a brief period. Expect many an ultimate ability to be so, this is a lot of big words in a string here. Now, I gotta commend the guy that wrote it. Expect many an ultimate ability to be summarily shut down by quick thinking Anna players. Anna's own ultimate, Nano Boost, sees her fire a dart at an ally and grant them faster movement, increased damage, improved resistance to incoming attacks. And improved resistance to incoming attacks. So her ultimate is an absolute beast. So
shoot that on like a Reinhardt or something.
Right. I think it's cool that we almost, in a way, I mean, it might have been obvious, but we kind of predicted in our previous episode, we were like, oh, I wonder if her rifle will be like you have to shoot your teammates to heal them, which yeah. I guess that's a given based on like the rifle they had done in like the promo for it. But it is pretty cool. And I'm sure you guys have realized it's going to take a super skilled player to be good as Anna.
Yeah, she's a 3-star difficulty.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, imagine
others like that are like Genji and, you know,
imagine trying to heal a Tracer just zipping around everywhere. You're like, hold still, damn it.
It's probably not going to be what it's like ultimately meant right. for. It's probably going to be like to just back up, like, you know, the big fat tanks that are going right, to be pretty right. easy to shoot.
Yeah, the I think the oh, where was I going with that? Holy crap, I just lost everything in my brain.
I think it was cool in the lore how Anna had Widowmaker in her sights in the lore video, and she didn't take the
shot.
Yeah,
she hesitated.
Yeah, and then Widowmaker shot her in the eye.
I wonder what the deal is there.
She actually shot her through the scope.
That's what it is.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always, it seems like a common sniper story. It's like, there's always the one target you can't shoot, and you always pay for it. But it is cool how she was like, she's like an old lady. She's like in her, it looks like she's in her 60s or something, but she's Farrah's mother. She was out of the game for a while. She's like, I'm just going to stay out. But then she realizes, I can't let my fellow soldiers down. I got to be a part of this, which is cool. But what I was going to say earlier when my brain melted was that in the right hands, she's going to be so freaking deadly. Like, anyone that's like extremely accurate with a sniper that can obviously heal your teammates and give them the damage boost and stuff, but I think it's insane that her biotic grenade, this is astounding, that if you throw it, obviously it boosts your teammates' healing, but it prevents your teammates from being healed. So if you got like a Reinhardt and that biotic grenade goes off near him and Mercy's trying to heal him, it will do nothing. Right. If it hits Roadhog or Soldier 76, like they said, their healing will not work. That's fascinating. And the sleeping dart, in case you didn't know, when you put someone to sleep, if you shoot them, like, they're instantly back up. Like, so that prevents you from just, like, shooting someone and them, like, aim, like laying there, not being able to do anything and just getting slaughtered. So the second they're touched, they're back up. I think the goal in that is to say if someone, you're trying to capture a point or something, there's just one guy contesting you, you can just sleep dart them. They'll fall down for 5 seconds and they won't even get back up until the 5 seconds are over. But if you shoot them, they're back up instantly. So I think that's a very balanced effect that they have. So you can't just like
sleep dart someone. It can also give her a means of like escaping.
Yes, exactly. You know, she needs to just get out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut down an ultimate too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
In the trailer, she pretty much shut down McCree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be super handy as well. What was something else that was cool?
She has no escapability, like he was saying. Like that sleep dart is like pretty much all she has. She's very slow. I've watched lots of gameplay.
Yeah, and her nano boost is so deadly too. Like I've seen a video of her nano boosting Reinhardt, and he's just like the scariest thing I've ever seen. He's hitting people, and their bodies flying everywhere.
I've seen I saw a video where a Zenyatta used his ultimate that gives everyone resistance to everything.
Yeah,
Lucio speed boost and her nano boost.
Oh my gosh!
This Reinhardt flew through the map. It was so funny because I think Zenyatta's ability also gives a speed boost now or something.
Right.
But it was ridiculous.
Dude, that's crazy. But I'm, like we said, it's obviously... What is the... everyone's playing it right now. And what is it called again?
PTR?
PTR, yeah. I keep forgetting those. But it looks awesome. I've seen a lot of gameplay for it. I assume you've watched a good bit as well. Yeah, it's cool. I've seen some people just kind of like be okay. And then I've seen some people kicking ass as her, which is cool. But as we know, when she launches on consoles and all that, it's going to be a monstrosity for at least a week. Yeah. Like, unless
full team of honest.
Yeah, unless, for example, you, the three of us, and like maybe Edgar and his brother, we all get on, then we can all be like, all right, let's take turns as Ana. Because if you have a team of friends, like obviously you'll take turns. But if you just play with random people, it's going to be like 6-on-6 Ana's for the first week. Because everyone wants to play as her. Yeah.
I feel like she might not even be that great of a support by herself, too. I feel like maybe a Lucio would complement her well.
Right.
Because, you know, you got to be accurate with that.
She can't be the only healer.
Right.
Yeah. But that's super cool. And I think she's an awesome idea for a character. And the fact that you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You got another healer and you got another sniper, which is awesome. And I think her ultimate is easily probably the deadliest if used right in the right scenario. Like, it can be amazing. But we're all super pumped to play as Ana. I want to hear everyone else's opinions in the comments below as well. If you're an Overwatch fan, if you play Overwatch, if you're interested in playing as Ana, let us know what you like. Maybe things you think would have been better. I don't know, but we have plenty of free characters coming our way as Overwatch progresses, which is exciting. But
still don't know about Sombra.
No, we don't. Yeah, I'm interested. But yeah, I mean, Ana looks awesome. I'm excited to play as her. Did you read? This is actually like over a week old, but I completely missed this. Did you know that the coin flip is being removed from season 2 of competitive play in favor of ties instead? Mm-hmm. Does that sound dumb to you? Like, it sounds dumb to me.
No.
I think it's ties.
Both teams get experience or don't lose a rank. I don't know.
If it's competitive play, stick to it, in my opinion.
I heard someone say that just because we're Americans, we're so against like tying and things.
Right.
So yeah, let's not give the trophy to the...
It's so dumb. I'm like, flip the coin, suck it up, and win or lose.
Flipping the coin sucks, though, because
I think
one team's at a huge
disadvantage.
I think there should
be a tiebreaker match. I think there should be... It should be
like
settled.
A full tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, I can see why the coin flip can be annoying, because one, yes, it is random.
The attacking team has a huge advantage on the coin flip.
Exactly. Because, if they tweak that a bit more instead of... Maybe they need to remove it for a season to tweak it some, and then maybe they'll reintroduce it, like, revamped or something, but... Like, that does make sense. Like, if you're attacking and you just run right to the objective and get it instantly, it's over.
Yeah,
and the defending
their spawn
team's
is
left.
So much closer, too.
Exactly.
Defenses.
That makes total sense. I get why people complain there, but at the end of the day, if they can figure out a better way to implement this, I still want it there because I can't stand ties. Like, I understand why. Like, it's cool to, like, both teams get winning points.
It's the principle.
It is the principle. I'm the same way. At the end of the day, there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. And I guarantee all the people complaining about this, no offense to the kids that all got trophies for participating in anything when they were a child. So
just like us, our Zor basketball team went undefeated and we got the same trophies.
Exactly.
We were like, as kids, we were like, what the heck?
I know. But I get why they have to do this. Now, I hope, like I said, I hope they bring it back, but I can live with a season of ties. We'll all just be a bunch of pansies playing competitive play for a season.
Goodness, you're really getting worked up over this.
I'm not actually mad. I'm just playing it up. But for real, though, I hope they figure out a better way to have a
ties. Ties are, like, in all honesty, we're joking. But, I would prefer there not to be ties. I would like I would like some sort of match in the end. I think that'd
be great. I was worked up the other night playing competitive play. Me and Jacob kept losing. And, of course, Jacob has his head on straight, and I'm just, like, freaking out. I'm like, I'm so fucking tired of losing. It's like, we lose every single time. And then we'll win a round. I'm like, that was really fun. And then we'll lose again, and I'll start screaming again.
It was like saying all this in game chat. Everyone was probably like, oh my god!
I kept forgetting we were in game chat because we were like, let's try to communicate with our teammates. And I was just saying the worst things in game chat and I forgot.
Have you heard of It's Obvious Gaming? Yeah, I played with that dude in a lobby. He's a freaking bitch.
that guy's insane, man. Now, I'm exaggerating a bit, but I was very frustrated when we were playing. I just wanted to win. I was like, we lose every match. This is ridiculous. But it's understandable. If you don't have a team that communicates well, you're almost guaranteed to lose in competitive play. Thankfully, we lost anyway, but these two guys noticed we were playing. We were in game chat, and they got on and talked to us for a bit. And we didn't coordinate, but we just, like, laughed that
still
we were
lost
losing.
Them.
Yeah, we were just kind of, like, laughing together that we were losing. But, competitive play is really cool. But as I said, we'll see what they do with the coin flip going forward. But not the end of the world. But like we said, being Americans, there's a winner, there's a loser, damn it.
Yeah.
Guys,
we don't tie wars.
Yeah. We either win them or we lose them. But you guys see the new NES console coming this December?
Yep.
This is really cool.
Awesome.
This is really cool. This
so
one's
cool.
This is brief. This is from Wesley Copen of IGN. This is for those of you that don't know what it is. Brace yourselves. Nintendo is releasing a new NES console. We don't have many details at the moment other than what Nintendo has said on its social media channels, which is the Mini NES Classic Edition will ship on November 11th for $60. It'll come with 30 games. The NES controller can be attached to a Wiimote for use with NES Virtual Console games on the Wii U, and if you don't own a Classic Controller or a Classic Controller Pro, each of those will work on the NES Mini. You okay over there?
Oh, he's, yeah, he's touching me.
Okay.
Sorry. Trying to make you feel better, man.
Oh.
I'm really hot right now.
It's very hot, yeah.
And I'm wearing this stupid button.
When we first sat in here, I was freezing. Uh-huh. And I was looking forward to the heat, but now I regret it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll have to go take a look at that when we're done in here. The system itself comes packaged with an HDMI cable and a USB cable, which powers the console. Additional NES controllers will set you back $10 each. This is super cool. I read a list of over 30 games. A lot of Legend of Zeldas in there. There's two Castlevanias.
Well, there's two Legend of Zeldas.
Okay.
Two Castlevanias.
There's two Donkey Kongs.
Yeah, three. Ooh. Well, not the Donkey Kongs, everybody. Well,
right.
The original Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little stuff
Zelda
in there.
1 and 2.
There's some Super Marios in there.
Three. All three of them.
Okay,
Super
great.
Super Mario 1, 2,
I
and 3.
I want to play those.
No, yes. This is super cool.
It's cool. I have a prediction.
Okay.
And it's based on no merit. It's based on me purely just my gut feeling.
All right.
I have a feeling these are going to be very hard to get.
Oh, no doubt. They're probably, I wouldn't call it a limited release, but it probably won't be like
Nintendo sucks
scale.
At giving, putting a lot of things into circulation.
Dude, for only $60, I want to keep an eye on this. As soon as they go up for pre-order, I'm on it, man. Because I think this, I'm not going to be like, no, that's the thing. I didn't own an NES. I only owned SNES.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people have already been saying like, oh, it'd be cool if they did an SNES version of this eventually. That'd be awesome.
That would be so cool.
Because that's where all my memories are with Nintendo.
Yeah.
But this in itself is very cool.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that you can attach it with an HDMI and USB is excellent.
Mm-hmm. I can just totally see people scalping this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No doubt.
I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope I'm like dead wrong. There's a ton of these. And I don't know. I've seen a lot of positive like feedback due to this. Like it's on people that don't even like game on my Facebook page are like, holy crap, this is awesome. Like tagging their parents in it and stuff.
Right.
Like, we used to play, you know, like I told my mom about this and she was like, oh, that's cool. Like I used to play Castlevania.
Right.
I used to know how to beat that game and stuff. And
your
like,
mom said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I don't believe her.
My mom was an avid Mario player.
Really?
My mom claims that she knows literally everything about Castlevania and she would like destroy that game. But I know that game's pretty hard, so I think
that's what I've heard.
So I would like to get it just to be like, all right, well, freaking play it.
Just do a let's play of your mom beating Castlevania.
She was obsessed with a Dr. Mario on Super Nintendo. But besides that, even my mom was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So I've just seen a lot of like, you know, people that aren't, you know, necessarily into games now, but you know, played games back in the day, you know, Atari, Nintendo and stuff that are pretty interested in this. So,
totally.
I just, like I said, my gut opinion, I think it's going to be pretty hard to find. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, too. And speaking of scalping and stuff, I meant to tell you, I told a story of when I got my PS4 a couple weeks ago, I think. And I was the fourth guy, or I was the second guy in line. There's four of us that only got the PS4s that night. Three of them, all three of the other guys were all there to just resell it the same night. And I was like, you guys suck. I was like, I'm so pumped to enjoy this. You're just going to make money off it.
I know people that during PS4, they pre-ordered two of them. One to have themselves and one to just sell.
Wow.
So that's not a bad
idea. If you got the money, go for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're making money.
Yeah.
Yeah. My eighth grade teacher, when I was in eighth grade, he went and stood in line for like several hours to get PlayStation 3 so he could sell like three of them online.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. And those things were freaking expensive. Those things were like $600 when they came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on this. Like I said, I think it's very cool. And I mean, I don't have to have it, but I think it'd be really cool to have.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to have it.
I think it'd be cool if one of us had it. So we can just, if we get bored one day, we're like, let's do a Castlevania Let's Play or something.
Yeah. Can't get trophies on it, so who cares?
Yeah, forget the trophies. How are you going to play through Breath of the Wild without trophies?
I don't know, man. I might not.
It's just not my thing anymore.
Maybe the NX will have like a... some sort of achievement system.
That'd be cool.
Gotta get up with the times, Nintendo. Get some.
That'd be really cool. I could see that. I don't know what they would do, but just knowing
what would Nintendo call their trophies?
I was trying to think that they call it like I don't know, but I'm trying to think of something very playful
something,
and fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like your treasury, you get different coins.
I could
or
just
something.
See them doing like a Mario coin something like your, I don't know.
Your coin bank.
bank.
You can go into like your treasury and see
or
all
like
your
ribbons,
coins.
Like your awards, like different types, like, you know, that's copying PlayStation. I don't know. I can see them doing something like super like G-rated.
Yeah.
Not that trophies and achievements are G-rated, but like something like super. Like,
very, very simple and playful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I'd be totally on that.
That'd be awesome. Still waiting on those freaking NX rumors to come to fruition. It's just all we ever hear.
Eventually, I'm thinking in the next, 1 to 2 months, we're going to know what that thing is.
Okay.
I hope. I think August.
Awesome.
This is going to be a good month for that.
That makes sense. Yeah. I'm going to hold you to that. We'll see.
Okay, man.
You heard it here first.
So, most exciting news of the week for me, not for everyone, but for me personally, this gets me pumped. This is from Matt Porter of IGN. Quote, Warner Bros. And Telltale Games have announced the upcoming Batman and Telltale Game series will be premiering sometime in August as a download. Then the physical version will be out September 13th. The retail version will feature a season pass disc including the first episode and then granting access to the subsequent four episodes as they become available for download online. If you're in Europe, you'll need to wait until September 16th. We saw a demo of Telltale's Batman at this year's E3, and Bruce Wayne, voiced by Troy Baker, stole the show. The game will also feature voices such as Travis Willingham as Harvey Dent and Laura Bailey as Selina Kyle, end quote.
Now, let me ask you something.
Okay.
You said... Let me see this paper.
Okay. You okay?
I'm also excited about this game.
I'm so pumped.
Troy Baker stole the show.
Yes. According to them.
Okay. Because I've heard no good things about Troy Baker as Batman.
Really?
Yes. Which surprised me. I heard his Batman voice is not good.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like, does it just sound like Troy Baker?
I heard that it literally sounds like somebody trying to do an impersonation of Batman.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was dudes from IGN in a video that after they saw it at E3. So I don't know if
that makes me nervous.
Yeah, I have not heard any good things. Granted, they could just be like really like
just have bad opinions.
Exactly. I haven't heard anything.
Well, I hope that's not the case because one, many things are many factors in this situation. One, I love Batman.
Do you want me to try and find something?
Yeah, sure. You search. I'll talk about it for a minute. One. I love Batman, my favorite superhero of all time. Love everything about the character, not just Batman, Bruce Wayne. That's why I'm so pumped about this game, because I love the Arkham games. Some of my favorite games of all time. Batman Arkham City is my favorite game of all time. That being said, I'm ready for a Batman experience that doesn't have combat shoved down your throat the whole time. And that's important in a Batman game, because he's a skilled fighter. That's what Batman does. He fights and beats up bad guys and beats the villains. But I want to explore more of Batman's psyche, more of Bruce Wayne as an individual, and more of like the situations he's in, like morally, and like decisions he has to make, and like especially the detective stuff, because he's known. I mean, the title, his subtitle for Batman is not used as often as it used to be, but he is the world's greatest detective. So I want to see that in a game as well. I want to like have to search for clues, and I don't want it to be easy. I want to be able to find something and have to like go to my bat computer and figure out stuff there. And I know this game is very narrative driven and it's very on a linear path, but you make choices along the way. So I've yet to see it in action. This will be my first Telltale game experience, but the fact that it's Batman has me freaking out, because this is the kind of the Batman game that I am. What I wouldn't say I've wanted this after Batman Arkham Knight. I wasn't sure what I wanted after that, but this is exactly what I think I need, because I've just been dying to play another Batman game, and this is the best way to experience it, I think. That being said, Troy Baker is one of the greatest voice actors of our time. He's amazing in everything he does, and whether you know it's him talking or you didn't know it was him at all until you find out later is awesome, and he's never been bad. So hearing that you're saying that these guys think his voice sucked has me concerned that it sounds like an impersonation. But it's a shame, because I was going to say, if he kicked ass as Batman, how cool to be able to say, be like, I've played the Joker and Batman in games. That's super cool. But I can't find
anything.
Okay, maybe you're just crazy.
You're just
maybe no. I did see IGN and one other news outlet from a behind closed doors demo. They said that Troy Baker's Batman voice was distracting.
Really?
Yes.
That is so
I googled it, couldn't see any articles about it or anything. I don't even think they've really showed gameplay of the game anyways, so I don't even have access to hear what it even sounds like. But the only thing I've heard is that. So they might be like the 1% that think that way.
Right.
So
may be the 1% that thinks the coin flip leaving Overwatch is a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
No, but that's unfortunate if that's true. I will say that I wish... I'm always open to other people voicing Batman. Like, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who voiced him in Arkham Origins, I think, did great.
He was the guy that did Ezio's voice from Assassin's Creed.
That's who it was, yes. No, I liked that version of Batman, because he was even pitched before the game released. Like, this is an angrier Batman. He's a newer Batman. He's not totally familiar with what he's doing yet. I think they said it was like either a year or like 6 months into him being Batman at this point in Arkham Origins. And I thought that guy killed it, because he sounded like a very angry Batman, which I thought was awesome. And then, of course, Kevin Conroy is the most famous Batman voice of all. Always will be my favorite, not just purely out of nostalgia, just because I think his voice fits Batman perfectly. It doesn't sound like he's growling or trying to sound mean. He's just like, his deep, normal voice just sounds bold and cool. And I wish he could voice Batman indefinitely, because that's just always what I imagine when I read Batman comics, or when I, obviously when we play the Arkham games, that's the voice you get when you watch the animated series. So it's a shame he's not the voice, but I'm always open to other guys trying it. But if Troy Baker sucks, that's going to be unfortunate. But maybe I can get used to it, because stuff like that I can get over.
We'll see. We'll just figure it out for ourselves.
We will see. Return to Arkham, apparently, according to sources, is supposed to come out in November. We'll see if it happens. It's the last bit of Batman news.
No one's going to buy that.
I'm going to buy it. Will I play it in November?
Yeah.
No, but I will buy
That's
it.
That's what I mean. No one's buying that. No. There's so much stuff out.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be playing everything in October through, like, probably until, what's it called? Persona and Horizon come out. I'll probably still be busy playing stuff from October, because I will not be able to afford all that in October, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I've got to pay bills, got to pay for school coming up, so it's going to be stressful. But
regardless,
at least we have a plethora of goodies coming our way. Guys, Star Wars Celebration is this weekend. We're not going to be able to cover all of it, unfortunately. We're a games podcast, so it's kind of unnecessary anyway. But Star Wars in general, we're fans. We were big fans of The Force Awakens. And I'm pumped for Rogue One. I'm super pumped. Obviously, Episode 8's coming a year after that. So Star Wars is huge, as we know, worldwide. And the celebration's going on this weekend. I think it goes through Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And today's Saturday, so we won't get everything in. But have you guys seen the sizzle reel that they released for Rogue One's footage?
I have.
Dude.
No.
It looks so awesome. And I know, obviously, we knew it looked cool from the trailer. And then all the reshoot stuff came out, and everyone was freaking out. And then Lucasfilm and the director, even the cast, was debunking that. They're like, everyone lost their minds for no reason. Everything's cool. And I'm even more reassured now that they showed the sizzle reel. Some of the coolest behind-the-scenes stuff I've ever seen. That movie looks so freaking good, and I hope it pays off. Like, the cast, all the character biographies sound amazing. The sets are amazing. Like, the one on the beach looks incredible. All, like, the sets. I don't know if they're on Tatooine, but I always describe any desert-looking city like Tatooine. May or may not be Tatooine. But that's,
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, that city looks really cool. I think one of my favorite shots of this, I mean, there's a million things to talk about. We're not going to go over all of it. But the coolest shot from the sizzle reel I saw is when they had built the ship on the big maneuvering machine, and they had a giant IMAX screen that was actually footage from the movie that they're rendering into the shot. So when you see the ship flying through something like the air and stuff, it's like a physical screen that they filmed. So it isn't just like all, I mean, there's some generation going in there, obviously, like computer generation CGI stuff, but the fact that, like, the actors, imagine how fun that would be to get in this moving machine flying, and you're having to act like you're actually flying through this, like the ship's like flying across the beach, and it looks so cool. Like, being an actor and being able to be a part of any Star Wars project, but this one specifically, it being its own standalone thing for the first time in the history of Star Wars, this has got to be so exciting. And there's plenty of aliens they showed off that I was surprised, and of course they're all practical. They look amazing. Specifically the one, I think they might have already said his name in like an interview or something, but the furry little guy that's on the, like, the turret gunner of the ship, where he like laughs and then starts shooting. That looks amazing. So it just looks like an amazing movie. And the fact that they said, regardless of what all the rumors say, this is a war movie. It's going to be a bit darker. This is a different take on Star Wars. And I read in an interview, I don't know if they're going to release this teaser. We've heard the rumor. It's not a rumor. It's confirmed. They're going to release a 3-minute trailer soon. It's probably going to be the end of the celebration. We'll probably see it tomorrow or Monday at the latest. But 3-minute trailer coming, which everyone's kind of concerned. Like, that's a long trailer. My prediction, I think it's going to be like a clip from the movie, like a small scene, and then it'll be like footage we've already seen for the rest of the trailer. That being said, apparently they showed a teaser at the end of the panel yesterday that shows a reflection of Darth Vader, and they said it's one of the most beautiful shots they've ever seen, because it says someone's being like taken to Vader, and a shot is like on a marble floor, and it's panning up, and you hear him breathing, and there's like this gorgeous red marble floor, and you just see the silhouette of Vader, and you can tell it's about to pan up and look right at him, but it ends. They're like, it was the coolest thing.
I just want to see Vader in that trailer.
Yeah,
so bad.
I think we're almost guaranteed at the, I mean, everyone knows he's in the movie, but we'll obviously get some sort of tease, because thinking about the general audiences that are, whether you're a general Star Wars fan or just a moviegoer in general, if you see a tease, or if you don't know Darth Vader's already in this movie, if you don't even know who Rogue One is, if they just show a little bit of Darth Vader, just most people are going to be like, oh, I know who that is. That's cool. So they pretty much have to do that to get other people excited. So we're almost guaranteed a teaser. But Star Wars Celebration has been cool. I know they released some stuff about Star Wars Rebels Season 3. Apparently Darth Maul's back again, which is cool.
Yeah, he was at the end of the second season.
Yes, yeah. So
really bummed I haven't been able to watch that yet. It looks like a decent show.
It's a shame. I kind of feel burned a little bit because on Xfinity, I watched all of Season 1 of Rebels. I'm like, wow. I mean, now it's geared mostly towards kids because it's like a Disney show or whatever.
Because I watched all of Clone Wars and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Clone Wars is great. I've only seen the first two seasons of Clone Wars, but
you should finish it.
I think I should too because I regret...
Darth Maul's in that too.
Yeah, he is. I regret not finishing that because all the clips I see, especially when Anakin's starting to dwindle towards becoming Darth Vader, it's like really impressive even for it being a cartoon. But season two on, because I watched season one of Rebels on Xfinity on the Xfinity app, and I watched all of it. I'm like, wow, that was really awesome. And it ended with like a Darth Vader tease at the end of season one. And then season two has a lot of Vader. And the first three or four episodes released on Xfinity for Rebels, I'm like, oh, cool. I was all caught up. And I come back like a month later because I was waiting for them to update it. And they had like 1 through 4. 6, 7, 9, 11, and like 17. They like left out a ton of random episodes. Like, what's this all about? I'm like, that sucks. So I'm gonna have to watch it some other way, but I do want to stay caught up because that's canon. And apparently, now this is confirmed too. What's the guy's name?
The main character.
The black guy from the Rogue One trailer who's kind of like, what will they do if they catch you? What will you become? Forrest Whitaker. His character is a main character in Rebels, he was a main character in Clone Wars, and he fought alongside Anakin Skywalker, and his character is canon in Clone Wars, the cartoon, exists in Rogue One, which is awesome. So reasons like that, I want to stay caught up, because you never know when they might bring other characters into the movies. Yep. But that's cool, and this is what I thought was the most exciting news for me personally about all of this. This has to do with episode 8. This comes from Mark Hamill directly. This is awesome. And this reassures me that I have high hopes for episode 8. Did you read about
this?
What
you're going to say,
This is so cool. This comes from our best friend, once again, Joe Scrubbles of IGN. Quote, Mark Hamill has praised the dialogue of upcoming Star Wars episode 8, saying it will, quote, make you forget all about May the Force Be With You. During his hour-long one-man panel at Star Wars Celebration, Hamill detoured from a question about working as the voice actor behind Batman the Animated Series Joker to praise the work of the new Star Wars writer-director Rian Johnson. Quote, I was looping episode 8 yesterday, and there's dialogue in there, and I thought, oh boy, I can already see this on a t-shirt. Rian Johnson is amazing. He'll make you forget all about May the Force Be With You. He's come up with so many new catchphrases, end quote. So I think that is awesome, because I think any fan of movies understands that dialogue is crucial. Like, if you have bad dialogue, you can't tell a story, then it sucks. You can make anything look cool, but if you can't tell a story through like important dialogue, then it's gonna suck.
You can tell a story without dialogue.
You can, but I mean, in the sense of Star Wars, you got to have some good dialogue in there. So I'm pumped about this, and especially because I remember when Rian Johnson back in the day was announced to be directing episode 8, I was like, man, he directed Looper. I was like, I haven't watched Looper in a while. So me and Zach went back and watched Looper, and after watching that, just his style, the way he directs that movie, I'm like, episode 8 is going to be awesome. It's going to look a lot different than episode 7 too. Just the way he does things, like some of the action scenes he does in Looper are just very creative, so I'm pumped to see what he does with Star Wars. But dialogue to me is crucial, and hearing that from Mark Hamill directly is awesome. But yeah, in Rogue One, Scarif is the final Battlefront DLC that you brought to my attention, which I actually found when I was printing our notes. Final Battlefront DLC coming in December, I believe, for Rogue One, which is cool. Yep. I'll probably play that a little bit. I don't see why not. I haven't played Battlefront since the week of release. I don't think you have either, right?
No.
No. But a whole lot of Star Wars stuff has been happening, and it gets me excited. But I want to hear anyone else that's a Star Wars fan in the comments. Please talk to me about it down below, because I know Jacob and I talk about it, Preston and I talk about it from time to time, but I'd love to talk to you guys about it as well. Let's freak out about all the goodies that are coming out of Star Wars Celebration.
Absolutely.
Guys, on to the main topic. We've kind of sat on this one for a while. We're waiting for the opportune time.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of sequels that happen in video games. We got some sequels coming this year. We got a Mafia sequel. You know, we have another Call of Duty sequel. We have, what else coming out that we have a sequel? Not as many as usual. But sequels exist. Titanfall 2, that's another one. It got us thinking, what are some of the best video game sequels you have ever played? Some of your favorites? What come to mind? What speak to your heart?
Now, when you say sequel, do you mean, like you said, Mafia 3? Are you talking about just the second, the follow-up? Or are you talking
about, say there's a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say, we're not going to be like, this is my favorite trilogy. You have to pick one, like say there's Batman, Arkham, Asylum, City, and Night. One game that sticks out to you in this series.
In my list, I only picked the games with twos in them.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what I
that's pretty much what I did too.
I have one that I think all of you
I think I lost
would
my
like
sequels.
To say, but like didn't think of it.
Okay.
This way, I'm gonna say, one of my favorites, and I'm not saying these in any particular order.
Okay.
But one of my favorite sequels for sure. It's Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did have that one too.
You did.
Yeah.
You bastard. I thought that was a clever one.
Yeah. I lost my list, so I'm gonna have to come up with them off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is a common, not common now because a lot of people figured it out. But for a while, people didn't realize Redemption was a sequel.
Yeah.
But
you want me to go down my list?
Yeah. Go for it. Okay. It might spark some of mine.
Okay. Okay. It's like I read it, Redemption.
Okay. And tell me just at least a sentence as to why when you take when you say
it's
these.
Freaking good. It's yeah. cool.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
Arguably. It's, I mean, obviously, it's the best Western video game ever made. There's not a whole lot of them, but nothing even comes close to touching it. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'd say just open world action game
in general,
as a whole is really hard to touch.
It is.
Yeah, great story, great character development. Love John Marston.
Oh, yeah.
Fun gameplay.
Yeah.
Unique gameplay. Not in the sense of like, oh, it's third person combat, but like, when have we ever played a good third person Western game? I know there was Gun that came out.
Yes.
Never played it.
Uh-huh.
Red Dead Revolver. I'm trying to think of any other third-person Western games.
I can't really think of any. I did. You already say Call of Juarez?
Call of, that's first-person.
Is it? Oh, you're thinking third-person. Okay, yeah.
Call of Juarez Bound by Blood's pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
it's free this month, isn't it?
Yeah, on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, cool.
Check it out if you got a PS3. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect 2.
Yeah,
of course.
That was on my list as well.
Super common.
Yeah.
Really good, in my opinion. I think it greatly improved over the first one. Not that the first one was bad, and just for a game I like.
Oh, yeah.
It was more, action-based, but still had RPG stuff in there. I think the first one did things better in terms of, like, the skill trees and, I thought there was more, like, variations of armor and stuff. But I just thought the second one was just better in a story sense as of, like, building this... this crew to go on a suicide mission and stuff.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome.
The story
really,
was the most intriguing story of the three of them, for sure.
Yeah, in my opinion, for sure. I think that's generally held that that's the best Mass Effect game, as far as that's what I've heard and that's what I've seen. I like the third one, too. Ending, I didn't like. That's not a, an unpopular opinion by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mass Effect 2 is great. Assassin's Creed 2.
Of course.
Yes. I was a huge... fanboy of the first Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Going back, I played it actually like a few years ago, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of not that good.
Hasn't aged quite well.
Yeah, it hasn't aged that well. But I actually would go on Game Informer. It was the thing, the website shut down very recent, GameTrailers.com. I would go there every single day when I was in ninth grade, freshman in high school, looking for Assassin's Creed gameplay. I would go every single day, and there would be like a new video every, once in a blue moon, and I would just go crazy over it. I would watch it like a million times. I was so excited for Assassin's Creed. It came out. I heard that it was okay, but I did not care. I went and bought a 360 with a used copy of Gears of War and Assassin's Creed, and I played the crap out of Assassin's Creed. I really hated how you had I would just free roam and just kill just everything.
Yeah.
I would just, literally run around and climb, and I did that for months in that game. And you'd have to, like, start up the game, go to the Animus, load a chapter, wait for your mentor to talk to you, run down the village, get on your horse, run to a travel point, travel to a city, let it load, get on your horse, run into the city, then you could free roam.
Oh,
and stuff.
Gosh, yeah, I know.
So it was awful. But yeah, the second one, super excited. I got it like a week after Modern Warfare 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it greatly improved. There wasn't the same missions over and over again. Combat was better.
Character was a lot more intriguing.
Yes, Ezio was awesome. I'll never forget at the very beginning where he's having like that turf war with that other dude.
Talks about his sister.
Yeah, he's
or
like, that's not what your sister said last night. Everybody's laughing. I was like laughing my head off when I played that first. So great sequel.
It is.
Literally improved. That's people still use the jump from 1 to 2, like in terms of everything. Like people were
saying, always the comparison.
Yeah, that's always the comparison. Like Watch Dogs is gonna be the same thing from 1 to 2. You know? They use Uncharted 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Uncharted 2, of course. Same thing like Assassin's Creed 1 to 2, Uncharted 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's played Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2. So and pretty much I hope if you haven't, please check it out on the PlayStation 4 compilation. It's incredible in terms of like just the overall production in terms of graphics, story, gameplay, just from the beginning, that just opening scene is just like so ridiculous compared to every single thing in the first game.
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely a big one for sure. I'm going to say Arkham City.
Okay.
I like Asylum a ton, but just finally giving you control as Batman is just an open world environment. I remember the first time I went to the top of the Ace Chemicals place and I got the bat suit and just dove off.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so awesome. And, you know, you got your grapple boost upgrade. So it pretty much took, you know, Arkham Asylum, which was a great game. Mm-hmm. Just the combat of that, the Metroidvania style of that, and just put it in an open world. Almost knocked that out of your hands.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, great game. I'm going to say Bioshock 2. Bioshock 2, for some reason, gets hate, and I think it's just because it's a successor to one of the greatest games of all time. Bioshock 2 is a fantastic game, and when the trilogy comes out on PS4, Xbox One, I highly recommend you check it out if you skipped over Bioshock 2. Did any of you guys play the second one?
Bioshock 2?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did?
Well, you played as a Big Daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And especially the Minerva's Den DLC that I've, you know...
I haven't played.
Yeah, I haven't played it either. It's regarded as one of the best DLCs of all time. So, yeah, I'll definitely see Bioshock 2. Typically, you know, when we're talking about sequels, they improve upon. But, I mean, you can't really improve upon Bioshock. I think gameplay-wise, Bioshock 2 is on par. Of course, the story's not as good. But it's mm-hmm. still, like, it's more Bioshock. It's really fun. So I think it's more a more underrated sequel.
Right.
Killzone 2.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the first Killzone came out, it was regarded as a, you know, the Halo killer and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Killzone 2, it went through a lot of crap with like, oh man, they showed that that gameplay demo apparently of it at E3, and it was like blown everybody's minds and stuff. And I think when the game initially came out, it didn't look as good as that trailer did. Right. But I remember going to my uncle's house, who had a PlayStation 3 from the start, and him playing that game. It blew my freaking mind from how good that game looked. Like, that game looked incredible, and that was a clear-cut difference between the Xbox 360 and PS3 to me. I think the Uncharted trilogy also shows that as well in terms of graphics. But it's just a fun game too. Like, I just remember the multiplayer fights and stuff were massive. There were tons of people. It was just fun. I remember when you'd get a kill, there'd be like bloop, bloop. That was super awesome. I think that's in Shadowfall as well. But yeah, Killzone 2 is a great sequel.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's my list.
Pretty much covers them.
Yeah, that covers up my list.
I'm so disappointed because I had a few of the same ones, but I also had a ton of different ones that really stood out to me. That
I know one of your big ones.
What name it?
I'll start with Halo 2.
Wait, Halo 2 is a big one. I was going to say Halo 2 and 3.
Yeah, I was going to say Halo 2, but I never was into it. So.
A lot of mine that I'm going to add to your list are going to make me sound like a total bro, but they are good sequels. Halo 2 is obviously a big one. I didn't play Halo 1 until after Halo 2. I played Halo 1 on PC and had a ton of fun with it, surprisingly, but Halo 2 was huge. I've talked about Halo a million times. I just have fond memories of playing split screen with my friends across the street, playing like on lockout for hours, just playing Slayer over and over and over again. Halo 2 is good. My favorite Halo memories are with Halo 3, as I've told the story before. We got Halo 3 on day one and played with like pretty much everyone we went to high school with were all on Sand Trap that first night, just running around going crazy and freaking out about Halo. And that game I played for years after release. And that game in a year from this September, 2017 of September, September 2017 will be a 10-year anniversary of Halo 3, which is amazing that it's been that long already. And every now and then when I hop on Master Chief Collection, play Halo 3 with Zach or someone, it's just still just as much fun as I used to have. Not like revolutionary in shooters by any means, but just in Halo terms, like that was just a phenomenal sequel. Not only just the multiplayer, but the story as well. I wish Halo 3's story could have just ended like Halo, just the story of Halo and Master Chief's story could have ended with Halo 3. And with all the new Halo games, I would have rather them gone in a different direction instead of continuing Master Chief's story. Because I think now, like, someone may call me like, oh, you're not a real Halo fan if you say this, but I think the story's just kind of silly now. Like, the whole Cortana being the enemy now and everything, spoiler alert, it's just stupid to me. I think it's like not even slightly intriguing. I just think it's dumb. But Halo is still fun to me. But Halo 3 is one of my favorite sequels for sure. Gears 2 is a big one. Mm. So we were huge fans of the first one. I'll never forget you and I played Xbox Live together for the first time on Gears 1 on Gridlock. And we were all excited about it and played Gears 1 forever. And I remember, never forget release day. I've told the story as well. It was like that Friday when it came out. And I just remember going home and it just blowing my mind from start to finish. And the story just overall was just a way better campaign than the original. It had more set piece moments.
More color.
A lot more colors.
It wasn't just gray and black the entire time.
It's much more colorful. That it delved into the characters' backstories. You got to know them a bit more in this one. The story was cool, and like the set piece moments, I'll never forget the big ones, like riding on the what were those big things called where you're fighting the Crawl or the Krill or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. The guy with the cowboy hat on, that big like giant rolling thing, fighting those, and then the worm one is huge where you cut yourself out of the worm at the end.
That's awesome.
That one. I mean, there's countless.
Riding
in there.
The Brumac at the end.
Yes.
Fighting the dude with the chainsaw bow staff thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Wasn't he the final boss?
No. He was you go
I remember now.
Yeah, you like go down into the hive or something. Mm-hmm.
I remember he had a cool name too. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
but the multiplayer was fun too. My favorite Gears multiplayer was in Gears 3, because I feel like that's really where they finally refined like the cover based and keeping people in cover instead of just running around like lunatics the whole time. But Gears 2's multiplayer was fun because they introduced the chainsaw battles, and you lost your first chainsaw battle to make your controller broke or something.
Died. Battery died. Yeah, never forget it.
Memories. Gears 2 is a good one. This is a random one that was, I do recall being on my list, Tony Hawk's American Wasteland. Now, you can look at this in one of two ways. Like Call of Duty, for example, you could look at Call of Duty games as an entire series, or you can look at them as in chunks, because they're all from different developers. You could look like, here's Modern Warfare's trilogy, here's Black Ops, here's Advanced Warfare, here's blah, 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 blah. So you could categorize it like that, or you can categorize the series as a whole. So I'm just going to take Tony Hawk's series as a whole and say American Wasteland, because that's the first taste I got of an open world game. It wasn't completely open world. It had little mini hub worlds, but you could explore them at will and go to them whenever you wanted to, and you could customize your character, and you're building your skate park the whole game. So that game sticks out in my mind. It was on our podcast way back in the day when we talked about our favorite games of all time, because that... Not only was I a huge Tony Hawk pro skateboarding game fan, but that was my first taste of an open world game where you could customize a character and explore and stuff. So that one stuck out in my mind. What was another one?
I'm going to say, since you mentioned Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2, just straight up Call of Duty 2. Great game.
It is, yeah.
Great campaign. I remember it came out. It was one of the first games, if I'm correct. Forgive me if I'm not, for the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was one of the launch titles. Mm-hmm.
I remember playing it at a Target, the demo, and I was just like, holy crap, this is amazing. I never got around to it. Like, I got to Call of Duty 2 after, like, Modern Warfare 2. I went back and played it, and I thought it was awesome. The campaign especially, like, the D-Day portion and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Super awesome. The other take of D-Day, the other soldiers, like, climbing the cliff and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different take on it, you know, than we saw in, like, Medal of Honor Frontline and stuff. But, yeah, Call of Duty 2 is a great game.
It is, yeah. Even up to even a year ago, we were at Evans a couple nights. We'd be like, let's play some Call of Duty 2 split screen, because he still had it on 360 at the time. And we would just play split screen Call of Duty 2 for a couple hours. And it feels good still, because Infinity Ward's gameplay, they just nailed it.
The first night I had Call of Duty 2, I was playing online with my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
We were just, back in, you know, Call of Duty, we used to just play each other in a private match, just effing around and stuff. But I could see him through a wall. I was like, dude, I can see through all these walls and stuff, and I can see you.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, whatever. Oh, dinner's ready. Got to go. Went back up, turned on my Xbox, red ring.
Oh, no.
I know. I was like, you've got to be kidding
me. That's terrible.
So that's the story.
Should've just skipped dinner.
Yeah.
And that's the story of I boxed up that Xbox, and it fell on my toe. And I think I told that last week.
Oh, man. That's just icing on top of the cake.
That was
right
the
there.
Game that killed that Xbox, which I said I had a red ring like 4 or 5 times. I lost count.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
Yeah, I remember getting that back, and the first thing I went to was Call of Duty 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
A couple more. Rising Sun, Medal of Honor, Rising Sun. Mm. Came after Front Lines. Now, I was impressed with all the Medal of Honors up until the last few years. They're not good. But they may not even be considered good now, but back in the day on PS2, I loved Front Lines. It was amazing to me.
I remember Rising Sun was the one that started on Pearl Harbor, right?
Yes.
We need that next genified.
It'd be so awesome.
I want
awesome.
To do D-Day with the graphics nowadays.
I'm still waiting on
Holy
it.
Crap.
Can you
D-Day
imagine?
In VR?
Oh, holy crap.
Jeez. Gosh.
It'd be amazing.
You would give a dude, throw that on an old vet's head, you give him, he'd go, I
he'd
don't even know.
Serious
he would have
shell
some
shock.
Serious PTSD.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Gosh. That's not good.
That's not a good idea.
No, yeah, he would. But, that would be bad.
Yeah, but that would be cool.
No, that would be very cool, and definitely, I'd love to see D-Day and Pearl Harbor and all that, and even maybe like the Battle of the Bulge and stuff, just big battles in next gen. I mean, we've yet to see that on current gen consoles. Yeah. It'd be awesome, but... Rising Sun, I thought was cool. I really liked that one a lot. I even like my favorite Call of Duty, not Call of Duty, Medal of Honor campaign was European Assault. I really liked that one. That one
I
was
think
really
that
fun.
Game introduced cover Yes. For the first time in a Medal of Honor series, where you could actually
bend around the corners. Yeah. That, and they also introduced
played that on my GameCube.
Yeah, I think I either played it on GameCube or PS2. I can't remember, but that was also another one where that was the first time they introduced ragdoll physics into the Medal of Honor series. And I've always been a fan of realistic physics, and when they brought that to one of my favorite shooting franchises, I was so pumped. I was like, that's something I can appreciate. Another one. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Mm. This game entertained me forever.
Those were fun games.
I loved those. You could play co-op. I remember because of the game, when you'd start it up, would do like the montage of gameplay, and I'd always see the crazy combos characters would do. I'm like, how do you unlock that? And I'd figure it out. I'll never forget. Remember we tried to unlock Aragorn's final kill move where he does like the slash and spins around and stabs him? Yeah. We worked so hard to unlock that.
We've had to figure out it was like an actual counterattack. They had to hit you first.
Mm-hmm. So, but I loved that one. I even loved Return of the King when we played it on GameCube. Mm-hmm. I remember renting it and you and I playing it on your GameCube, I think.
Yeah, my mom went out and bought another controller just for you, and it was like the off-brand crappy controllers you had to give your friend, like, here's the shit.
It's like massive.
Yeah, super awful.
Yeah.
They always messed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're not completely over that. There are still third-party stuff, but
Ooh.
But now
still going?
Miraculously.
Gosh,
I hope nothing shuts off.
Our power might go out.
Is it still? It's not even storming outside.
There's a Pikachu
outside.
It sprinkles in our town.
Oh man.
We're still going.
We're still going.
It sprinkles in this town and the power lines fall over somehow. I don't know why. Mm. So I won't be surprised if the power goes out.
Okay. You pulled out your Pokemon app.
Just to make sure.
It's like a Zapdos above our house. Yeah. Crap, forgot what I was saying.
What was it?
Man.
Return of the King.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crappy third-party controllers. Mm-hmm. There are still crappy third-party controllers.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, you would just tell your mom. And, of course, they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, I'll get the cheaper controller. Same thing, you know, plays the games, whatever.
Yeah.
So now we can, you know, actually go buy them ourselves so we don't have to suffer through that anymore.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame because I had all the sequels I had on my list were all games that I have played all the way through and have thoroughly enjoyed. I just can't remember them off the top of my head all of a sudden. But another one would be that I do remember was, this is a given, Spider-Man 2, obviously. We've talked about it 100 times.
I didn't even think about that,
Yeah, that's a big one.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 as well.
Oh,
sequel.
Awesome.
Great. Speaking of that, do you have any horrible sequels? Because typically games improve themselves.
Right. That's
so
a horrible
one. So it's
very
rare. Yeah, that is a horrible one. I never played it, but I think it's pretty well known of how bad of a sequel it is. Devil May Cry 2.
I've heard that's not good.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, the first one was good. I wasn't end up playing games like that around the time when it came out, but I've heard stories of other people that were very high on the first one going to that one and being like, what happened?
I know.
Why have you forsaken me?
Man.
I used to hear Bioshock 2 was a horrible sequel.
That's what I heard. I remember playing it and hearing that. And I didn't understand why people said that.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought, like, I don't recall everything about the story in Bioshock 2. I just remember the gameplay being really fun.
Yeah.
I liked using the drill as the big daddy and everything. So.
Awesome. You could, like, lunge and stuff with it. Yeah, cool.
So.
Like I said, in terms of gaming, movies, we could talk all day about how the sequels are bad.
Right.
But, games are, they're pretty, the percentage rate of improvement is really high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe it's because they have just years to work on it versus a movie where it's like a studio's like, all right, we need a sequel in 24 months or less.
Yeah.
If less than that.
Like, I mean, even in the case of video games, like Majora's Mask is a sequel to Ocarina of Time. They had like a year to make that game.
Yeah.
And they put out one of the best Zelda games of all time.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's just easier to improve upon a game. I guess because you have the game there. If you have a good game, I guess there can be bad sequels to a game that already sucked in the first place. But in a game, you have the gameplay there. And typically, like, let's use Titanfall, for instance. Titanfall's gameplay is there. It's good. It's just missing some things. So you take the gameplay, which they've already crafted, they already have the engine for it and stuff for the most part. You just make general improvements upon it. So it's kind of hard to make it worse than it is, because you know, you just add crap to it. So I feel like that's kind of like the case for example, Assassin's Creed. They had the gameplay there, they just needed to make a wider variety of missions and stuff. And I'm sure that's going to be the same case with Watch Dogs, because Watch Dogs gameplay wasn't really the problem with it. In mm-hmm. my opinion, I'm sure there's a lot of yeah. people that would have some issues to it. But just, you know, make the character more likable. Mm-hmm. Make the story better. Just give you...
Make the city a little more interesting to explore.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the San Francisco is more colorful and fun Definitely. And stuff. And not as, you know, bleak as Chicago was. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're putting like the... Just like the finesse with like the parkour and the outfits that people wear. It's just more fun. It's more like graffitis everywhere right. and stuff. It's more colorful. It's more fun and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's probably why it's harder to make a bad sequel, because, you know, if yeah. something's good in a game, you can, you know, you can't do that with a movie.
Right.
Be like, all right, well, we have the, let's take these exact shots that people like and yeah. just make them better for some yeah. reason.
Throw some color into them. That'll solve all yeah, of our problems.
Exactly. So
yeah, another one I just thought of while we were talking, Blacklist, Splinter Cell. It's a great sequel.
Yeah, Splinter Cell 2, good mm-hmm. sequel. Pandora Tomorrow.
Yeah, I remember that That's one. I didn't finish one. It, but I did play it.
Wasn't made by the team that made the first one. Of course, Chaos Theory came and made a arguably way better game, in my opinion, than Pandora Tomorrow. Pandora Tomorrow introduced the Spies versus Mercs multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that was good.
And they didn't bring that back until Blacklist, correct?
It was in Double Agent.
Okay.
Was not very good. I 1,000 Double Agent.
Okay. I only played the first half of that one as well.
By 1,000. I don't know. What do you call it on Xbox?
I think people just say 1,000 it.
Yeah. I cheated Double mm-hmm. Agent. Totally cheated.
How'd you do Cheater. That?
There was a like kind of mod tool on your PC
yeah.
that you could literally pull up all your achievements and just click a button to unlock them. And
wow.
I only did it to that game.
I think though, I remember you telling me about
because
that.
Because nobody played that game online anymore. So it'd be literally impossible. Because they were all, I got every single player achievement, but I did not have the multiplayer ones.
Wow.
So yeah, I was a cheater, a hacker, a loser.
He's a cheat.
Yeah. Sounds like you belong in the world of Watch Dogs.
Yeah. I do. You're right.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, with boring Aiden Pierce.
Yeah. Huh. Grand Theft Auto 5 is a big one. That's obvious.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 2. That's a good one.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's on
the
PC.
First Grand Theft Auto I played was Vice City, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was a fun game.
Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 were on like top-down versions on PC, I think.
Yeah.
2
yeah,
took yeah, place yeah. in like London, maybe, I think.
I think that's correct. I remember
yeah.
reading
yeah, but
about
then
that.
3 came out and like changed everything because yeah. it was, you know,
Vice City was after 3, right?
Yeah.
And then it was
San Andreas.
And then 4.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's something coming out in between.
There were
5.
PSP games. There was like Vice City.
That's what I was thinking.
Stories mm-hmm. and Liberty City stories and stuff.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we're not missing any console ones. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much it. I think Liberty City Stories came to console, though, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I remember a kid on the bus I drove who was younger than me was playing Liberty City Stories on PSP.
Yeah.
And I was so jealous. I was like, my mom won't even let me play this. And this, like, sixth grader's playing this crap, just
yeah.
beating hookers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. Jacob, do you have any sequels?
Yeah, I got a few. I picked 3 ones that instantly came to my mind. All 3 of these were pretty significant in my development as a gamer, I guess.
Okay.
The first one is, there was one that Garrett said, Halo 2. This one's not really significant, but the jump from Halo 1 to Halo 2 is
massive.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's like night and day.
It's like Microsoft knew what they had after the first Halo, and they were like, we got to make this incredible.
Right.
So that's what they did. And also, that's when a multiplayer really started to shoot off on console is... Halo 2 and Call of Duty 4, correct? Were those the first 2 major Xbox?
On 360, yeah. Well, the 2 big ones in 2007 were Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a Halo 3.
Call of Duty 4 is what brought Call of Duty's multiplayer into the spotlight.
Did Halo 2 have multiplayer online then?
Halo 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, it had multiplayer online. Halo 1 did not.
Because I didn't play Halo 2 until it was remastered on Xbox
yeah.
One, so...
Yeah.
Now to get into my 3, Kingdom Hearts 2.
It's funny. I'm gonna obviously I want you to continue. I was gonna say that was on my list.
Yeah, huge Kingdom Hearts fan, as everyone knows. Obviously, it wasn't like it's not a like both Kingdom Hearts main games are great games, but there were just a few things mechanically wise, and the worlds were a little more funner and two to me. Arguably, some say the story in the first one was better. I like the story in the second one more.
The Little Mermaid levels were worse in the second
yes,
one.
They were. They were horrible.
Like a quick time event
yeah.
the entire time.
I really liked the Tron world in Kingdom Hearts 2. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. And the
older
beginning
Tron.
Sucked.
I was so confused by that as a kid. I was like, what is
that? It just takes... Not that, like, I didn't like... Who do you play as?
It's Roxas.
Roxas or something? It just takes forever to get going. You're, like, smacking dudes with toy bats and stuff.
I do remember not knowing who this guy was.
Yeah, I was so like, confused as a kid.
But, yeah. Kingdom Hearts 2. The next one, Pokemon Gold and Silver.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Those, arguably, I think those games are much better than the original three. You got to play through not only the new world, but you got to go back to the old gyms and all that stuff and do the old Elite Four.
Yeah.
That was like, I played that game for like a year. And I like restarted over and over again. Really love that game. I played it with all my friends. I think each of us had a different version. It was cool. Because eventually Crystal came out too.
Yeah, that was I remember renting that from Blockbuster, and I was like, it's the same freaking game. I was so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear what I said about Red at the end?
No.
Okay, yeah, you remember Red at the end of Gold and Silver.
It took me forever to beat that.
So I was in a Folk's eating, having a cheddar biscuit or whatever.
Folk's, the southern restaurant.
Yeah, the southern restaurant, and I remember getting the credits at the end of that. I thought that was so awesome, dude. That Red fight is intense. The music is
like an 81
so,
Pikachu.
Yeah, like he had the classic like Ash Ketchum Pokemon from like the TV series. And just the music, dude. It is just like
some of the best music.
So epic. It's like the quiet. It's like quiet. You know how like in epic movies, like they'll do the Star Wars theme with just like piano, and it's just like very minuscule and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like that, but on a Game Boy.
The best part was that he didn't say anything when he went up to him. Just dots.
And then when you beat him, just dots. And then the credits come out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's badass, dude.
That is cool.
Yeah. I didn't fully appreciate it as a kid. When I beat it, I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
But nowadays, like understanding that, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So. And the last one's more recent, Black Ops 2. Okay. I'm grouping them up into different Call of Duties. But Black Ops 2 was the first shooter that I really got into.
Uh-huh.
I had played Black Ops 1 and Modern Warfare before that. Because this was when I first got my console, my Xbox 360. So I was just getting into all this. So I was, you know, coming off the World of Warcraft phase.
Right.
And I really got into Black Ops 2. Also, Battlefield 3. Mm-hmm. Both of those games I played a ton. I played Black Ops 2 so much that I got all the gold camos on the SMGs and I got the diamond skin.
Yeah.
I played that game so much. And it's probably why I play a lot of multiplayer shooters today.
Nice.
I had fun in that.
Yeah, that was a good game. I liked the single player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't remember the
single
player.
I liked the multiplayer
too.
It introduced choices.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you could ride around on a horse on one level. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite Call of Duty campaign of all time still is Black Ops 1. It doesn't have as many set piece moments as some of the other more action packed ones, but the story intrigued me more than any of the other stories. It was a very personal story, and I don't want to spoil it, but just I don't even know how many people would go back and play Black Ops 1 now. Spoiler alert, just in case. Okay, you're apparently just a schizophrenic the whole game, and you think that this guy, this crazy guy, you've been following him around the whole game in Vietnam. It turns out it's just your other personality. Which I thought was a mind-blowing twist at the end of the game. So you can expect that in some games or movies, I guess, but in a Call of Duty game, that is the last thing I ever expected, and that revelation at the end of that game was really cool to me.
Yeah.
So I really liked that one. A couple more that I typed in a list on Google to see if some of these would spark in my memory, and some of these were on my list. Borderlands 2 was a big one. I didn't get to really fully appreciate that game when it came out, because I remember you and I both had it, and it was at a time in my life where my mom would work all night and she'd sleep all day, like all week long, and this is like a I can't remember what time of year it came out, but I was just at home constantly and I always wanted to play the game. This is before I had a nice pair of headphones to wear. I just remember my mom yelling at me every 10 minutes to turn my TV down, and I would my TV would be on one bar to where I'd have to press my ear against the TV to hear it, and somehow my mom would still hear it and tell me to turn it down.
Oh yeah,
she has like, I'm telling you, mutants are real, and my mother's one of them. I love her to death, but her hearing is amazing. She was born with the greatest hearing I've ever seen in my life. So I never got to hear the hilarious dialogue half the time. The only time I got to enjoy it is when you and I did like local co-op together at your house, where we set up the two TVs and played.
I remember laughing and you'd just be silent.
Yeah. You'd be like, you not think that's funny? I'm like, what?
Why didn't you ever just put a headset on?
Because I didn't have
360
one.
Times.
Yeah, I didn't have like a nice headset.
They had 360 headsets.
I know, but you had to like put them in the back of like, you had to do the splitters and stuff. Like it wasn't as easy as just plugging it in your
Later on, I got a pair of Turtle Beaches that were nice, which ironically enough are still the best pair of gaming headphones I've ever had on my 360. And the most comfortable, which is weird because you'd think they'd get better at this point. I like the gold PS4 headset, but I still like those Turtle Beaches more. But Borderlands 2 is a big one. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this because I haven't played any of the other games, but Diablo 3, I know we all loved. We all had a ton of fun with that. I can't say, like, oh, I remember my days with Diablo 2 and Diablo 1, but I loved playing
Diablo
3. Diablo 3
at launch was absolutely terrible.
Oh, it was rough.
The auction house, all that stuff. Nothing dropped. No legendaries were ever spawning. You got one, like, every 100 hours. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But they've made a lot of improvements to that game to make it a great game.
Yeah.
I've heard Diablo 2 was a much more praised game at its time when it released.
I've heard that too. I heard people, like, when the game came out, just hardcore Diablo fans just raving about how good 2 was, and, like, for the first month, how disappointed they were with 3. I mean, yeah.
People generally praise Diablo 2. Mm-hmm. No one ever talks badly about it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rare to see a third game in a trilogy. Usually the third game succeeds regardless if it's a popular franchise, but to see it as well received as the second or first game is rare. And a few of the exceptions, I think, are definitely Halo 3 is a big one. What's another big one out there? That's probably the first one that comes to mind, but it's an achievement, I think, on the developer's end to make 3 just really awesome games that are all received well. So thankfully,
Uncharted.
Yeah, that's another huge one. That's
I was gonna say Uncharted 2, but you spoke of it earlier. So.
But I had a ton of little ones that I played as a kid that I loved that were on my list. I just can't remember all of them. But that's why we have a community of gamers as well. Please let us know some of your least favorite gaming sequels of all time. Some that you just flat out think are the best, regardless of opinion. Let's hear them. Let's start a conversation down below because we've discussed ours a bit. Definitely want to hear yours. It creates more conversation. It keeps the conversation going. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Absolutely.
That's all I had, guys, for me this week. Thank you for sharing your sequels. I enjoyed hearing them and talking about them.
I enjoyed it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. If you liked that, please subscribe to youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming and leave us a like down below. Write a comment. Join in on the family we have here.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Let's just get a comment session going. We'll compliment each other. Yes. We'll play games together.
Yes, we
will. We'll flirt with one another.
Yes,
we'll
my favorite part.
We'll all become boys, friends, and girlfriends.
Yes.
All of us.
This is a big happy relationship.
Yes, one big orgy.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
That's one
We're
way
just
to
all
say
in
it.
A marriage together, a polygamous relationship, all of us.
A civil union.
Yeah, exactly. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, all your podcasting services except for SoundCloud.
Working on it.
SoundCloud, it sucks. Yeah. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, but you did mention... Join our PSN community on it's called It's Obvious Gaming. You can find it in the Discover tab of your friends list on PSN if you want to join a community of gamers. Thankfully, at least once a week, we play with some of you guys, which is cool. It doesn't mean just play with us. That means play with everyone else. If you just want friends to play with an Overwatch or a Call of Duty or whatever it might be, check out the community. Maybe you'll find someone that wants to play with you. It'd be cool.
If you're on Xbox, sorry.
Yes. When the clubs come out, we'll make a club on Xbox
when
that feature releases.
Yeah.
There's something else I wanted to say that was important. Oh, yes. I wanted to reiterate. I always forget to say this at the beginning. The intro still stands. We love our intro. It's amazing. Dan Lester is incredible. His information is in the link below if you need his services. Awesome guy. That being said, our music is what we've been using for so long. We want to have fresh new music to support this beautiful intro he's crafted for us. If you're musically talented, gifted, if you can write music, if you're capable of doing so, and you're inspired to write us something for our intros, go for it. We'll give it a listen. If we like it, we will pay you for said service. Love to hear what you guys can come up with. And community questions. You can reach out to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com or the hashtag AskIOG on Twitter.
Have you checked AskIOG?
I have not.
Okay.
I would have gotten a notification
for it,
though.
Okay, okay.
Because I did this thing where I would find out about it. But we haven't got anything yet. But if there are any...
One day.
Yeah. It didn't have to be questions. It can be like, you guys suck! You can tell us through those services if you want to.
Please don't. That hurts my feelings.
Yeah, it makes us all cry. We all get in a semicircle and just cry about it for hours.
Like it, so please don't.
Yeah, especially Jacob. He weeps the most. We have to comfort him.
He's already depressed today. We don't want to push him over the edge.
And it might be one of the reasons
why.
I'm about to break. But, please send us any questions you might have. Like Stephen Garney that one time sent us amazing questions about VR that thankfully we were able to answer based on our experience with PlayStation VR, which is cool. But anything like that, send us our way because we love talking to you guys and connecting as much as possible. That's it for me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Preston.
Thanks for that. Please check out the PlayStation. Please check out the Pokemon Let's Play. These guys put a lot of hard work into it.
It was
and we're
fun.
Trying to capitalize on the Pokemon Go views right now, so please click
We're only doing it for views. That's all we care about.
But yeah, absolutely, guys. But it's been a pleasure, and we'll check you guys out next week.
You guys have a good one.
Bye. See ya.